From Illinois Public Media News, this is 217 Today. I'm Kimberly Schofield. It's Friday, May 2nd. Coming up, we'll hear from the city of Urbana's outgoing and incoming mayors. Those stories in just a few minutes, but first, these headlines. President Donald Trump has signed an executive order slashing subsidies to public media. The order instructs the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and other federal agencies to cease federal funding for NPR and PBS. Trump wants $1 billion already allocated to stations to be clawed back. Illinois Public Media receives $1.5 million from CPB. Some of those monies help pay for PBS and NPR. It also helps fund music rights, emergency alerts, and other capital projects. The order would mean that money, already approved by Congress for the next 2 years, would not be distributed to WILL radio and television. Trump and many Republicans claim the news on NPR and PBS is biased. In March, a Pew Research survey said that 43% of American adults believe federal dollars should keep rolling to NPR and PBS. The Trump administration has restored visas for all University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign students who previously had their legal immigration status terminated. The school says all enrolled students who had their visas revoked have been notified about the reversal. Administrators say they are preparing responses for future federal actions that may affect its international community. Early last month, U of I confirmed multiple students had lost their immigration status. Sources told IPM News that dozens of foreign students were affected by the decision. NPR reports judges have issued orders in over 50 cases for the government to bring back student exchange records. The Trump administration says it plans to introduce a new policy on student visas. The latest congressional budget plan proposes a federal work requirement for Medicaid recipients. A new analysis found that nearly 1 million Midwesterners could lose access to Medicaid if it passes. The Midwest Newsroom's Daniel Wheaton reports.
1 in 5 people could be disenrolled from Medicaid because of forgetting to respond to a form or because of a bureaucratic state mistake, according to a report by Washington, D.C. think tank, the Urban Institute. Catherine Hempstead is a senior policy officer at the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation, which funded the study.
If it could be executed with surgical precision, it would result in very little coverage loss and very little savings because most of the people are already engaged in these activities.
The report also found work requirements would result in minimal savings for the federal government and increase costs for states to enforce the rule. For the Midwest Newsroom, I'm Daniel Wheaton.
The month of May brings a new mayor to Urbana City Hall. After a 2-year campaign, Deshaun Williams will replace Diane Wolf Marlin, who decided not to run for re-election. Williams has a long career in banking and formerly served as the interim Champaign County Treasurer. I sat down with the new mayor ahead of his inauguration to ask about his priorities for the city of Urbana. You'll be Urbana's first Black mayor.
Yes.
What does that mean to you, and what do you think it means to the city's residents?
As far as, you know, what that means, you know, to just to my community, to the Black community, to the young folks in particular, you know, this is something to let them know your story doesn't have to end the way it starts, right? You know, I know there was a time in my life where I was told I would be dead or in jail before I was 21. It's just one of those things where I show my young Black and brown kids that anything is possible. You're not subject to what other people believe.
Public safety has been a contentious issue in the community.
Sure.
There have been calls to combat crime and prevent gun violence. But there have also been debates in city council about the department's use of force policy. Mm-hmm. How should police handle mental health emergencies and the treatment of African Americans? Mm-hmm. How do you plan to navigate those desires to reduce crime while acknowledging concerns about over-policing?
Sure. No, that's a great question. It's going to absolutely be a matter of us getting into the streets. I had a conversation with Chief Boone. I want us to literally get in the streets, have these training, these conversations around what this looks like to turn things around. I've said I don't want us to solely be reactional. So the moment we can shift that and really focus on preventatives, that's when I believe that we are going to see a shift. We'll curb the violence in a sense. I have a tremendous amount of respect for our police chief. He's put in a lot of work over the years. I have a tremendous amount of respect for our department. The thought of, oh, we don't need any more, that's You know, I can't agree with that personally. And again, while I appreciate and respect the desire to want to protect Black and brown people, I'm Black and brown. You know what I mean? I wear a suit 3 days out the week, but the other few days, my tattoos are out. I got Jordans on my feet. I got 5% tint on my windows on my car, right? I look like the stereotypical whatever, and I can become a hashtag at any given time. I really want a community-focused approach. I do want to see the alternative response develop, and it's developed, but I want to see it put into place now. Now it's time for the action. They're not going to be able to go on every call. They're not going to be able to solve every issue. But to have that as an option is going to be huge for our city. And I do believe that we have an opportunity to lead the way in that.
What would you like to see change in the city of Urbana by the end of your term in office?
You know what? In all honesty, by the end of my term, it's my hope that we can bring multiple sides to the center. Let me clarify, I'm not saying center politically, right? But there's some division out there right now, unconsciously, too. That's the unfortunate part, because I realized this, you know, throughout the campaign. We're divided and we don't really realize it, right? I am hoping that we will see an increase, you know, in not only Black and brown kids being able to be successful from an educational standpoint, but understanding that, you know, college and things of that nature is not for everyone, right? College and universities, it's not for everyone. So, you know, I've worked really hard in bringing the trades, you know, and things of that nature to the community and ensuring that that message is strong. For me, it's my hope that we're able to bring all sides together, and knowing that we're one team. This is the city of Urbana. They've grown to be known for, you know, their culture and the fun, the excitement, the art, them being together. And I think that we've lost sight of some of that. It's my hope that we'll bring some unity to the community, as cheesy as that sounds, and really just put forth, you know, some tangible outcomes and goals. And again, we're going to be known for action. I say it all the time. I don't want to attend too many more meetings, you know, because if we're not looking to put the action and put the work in, what are we really talking about? You know, so that's what I am hoping the end of my term will be a reflection of. Like, they put in the work. They put in the work. They made the change. The change was evident from the work that they put in.
You can listen to our full interview online at ipmnewsroom.org. You can also hear our conversation on Dialogue tomorrow, Saturday at 11 a.m. on Illinois Soul FM 101.1. Still to come, we'll hear from Diane Wolf Marlin as she wraps up her time in office, and from Mayor-elect Deshaun Williams as he prepares to become Urbana's new mayor. That story's coming up next on 217 Today, but first, meteorologist Andrew Pritchard with your forecast.
I'm meteorologist Andrew Pritchard with your IPM News forecast for Champaign-Urbana. Your forecast for today: partly cloudy with a chance of showers and a high of 72 degrees, and a west wind 5 to 15 miles per hour. Tonight, cloudy with a chance of showers and a low of 49 degrees, north wind 5 miles per hour. Tomorrow, partly cloudy with a chance of showers and a high of 63 degrees, north wind 5 to 15 miles per hour. Tomorrow night, mostly cloudy with a chance of showers and a low of 45 degrees, north wind 10 to 15 miles per hour. And for Sunday, cloudy with a chance of showers and a high of 57 degrees, with a north wind 10 to 15 miles per hour.
Next time on The 21st Show, our Friday Week in Review, we'll have the latest on a tragedy that left four children dead outside Springfield and a decision by federal prosecutors to give up on seizing millions of dollars from convicted former House Speaker Michael Madigan. I'm Brian Mackey. All that and more next time on The 21st Show. Join us.
You're listening to 217 Today. I'm Kimberly Schofield. This Saturday, Deshaun Williams will be sworn in as the next mayor of Urbana. He'll take the place of the current mayor, Diane Wolf Marlin, who decided not to run for re-election. Marlin is a longtime supporter and former volunteer with Illinois Public Media, but our newsroom covers her like any other leader in our area. IPM's Jim Meadows sat down with Marlin a few weeks ago to reflect on her time as mayor. He started by asking her what she now knows about the city of Urbana that she didn't when she started as mayor.
I'll tell you, I thought I knew a lot about city government because I had served on the council for 8 years, but you really never understand the full scope of responsibilities and duties until you take the office. So I came into office and I had some goals, and we've accomplished all of those, I believe, but one of the major goals was to restore the financial health of the city. So that's what we focused on the first few years.
What was the state of the city's financial health and what was the problem with it?
Well, we were facing a $2.5 million structural deficit, and in order to fix that, we had to make some very painful decisions.
What sort of painful decisions did you have to do at that point?
Well, we looked at staffing levels. We were looking at any possible ways we could reduce our expenses and spending. At the same time, we increased a few sources of revenue, including sales tax, food and beverage tax. So a combination of spending reductions and some revenue increases over a period of about 3 years.
Where do you see the city now financially?
We built a strong financial foundation. We eliminated our deficit. We rebuilt our city reserves to now where there's 25% of our general operating fund. We are halfway through implementing our facilities improvement plan. So we are in a strong financial foundation right now. Unfortunately, now there's so much uncertainty at the federal government level that going forward, it's hard to say what's going to happen, but at least I'm handing over a city that at least has a very strong foundation.
When I was looking back on some of the big issues and that were debated at city council meetings over the last several years, it just seemed like a lot of them circled around the city's police department about, you know, how they should handle mental health emergencies, mm-hmm. their use of force policy, how to address gun violence, and treatment of African Americans. Where do you think Urbana is right now on these issues with its police department as you end your term?
There are always going to be issues related to policing. We did make a lot of progress. Following the George Floyd murder, we worked with the NAACP of Champaign County and the ACLU and the police department to completely rewrite our use of force policy. We adopted the 10 shared principles for community policing to strengthen relationships, and I think we've come a long way.
And as you step away from the mayor's office and from elected city government, what do you see as the major issues that the city of Urbana will face in its future?
Well, it's continuing to provide the services that people need. I think given the current tone and situation at the federal government, local government is the most important form of government. It's where people will turn for help. We need to make sure that people have housing and food and the services that we need. We have to maintain essential city services. And then there are areas in the community that now we need to turn our attention to. And what we're seeing now is in along the Philo Road corridor. I think we're going to need stronger tools to deal with out-of-state property owners who allow apartment buildings to deteriorate. You know, we're seeing that in Urbana. Champaign is dealing with it. Springfield is dealing with it. We have a number of ordinances and tools in place, but I think we're seeing there's just a whole other level of neglect that now we're going to have to deal with. So that's one of the big challenges. But mainly, it's the next few years is getting through the uncertainty that faces this mm-hmm. country.
Any particular advice you have for your successor as mayor?
Do the best you can. Do the best you can to the best of your ability. You can't make everybody happy, but again, you have to make decisions based on what is best for the community as a whole.
That was IPM's Jim Meadows speaking with Urbana's outgoing mayor, Diane Wolf Marlin. You can find their full conversation online at ipmnewsroom.org. Marlin's successor, Deshaun Williams, will be sworn in at the city's inaugural ceremony for elected officials this Saturday at 1 p.m. at the Lincoln Square Mall. That's it for today. 2 and 7 Today is produced by Stephanie Mosqueda. Reporting today contributed by Emily Hayes, Daniel Wheaton, Kimberly Schofield, and Jim Meadows. Music by the Kilbourne Alley Blues Band. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Kimberly Schofield. 2 and 7 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening, stay safe, and we'll talk to you again on Monday.